here on.
Right, I think we'll make a start, because Helen's talk's only 3 hours today, so we better get started. Notice at that point you can see who's listening, because all those faces that went, how long? And everybody who didn't react, they weren't listening, were they? So, everybody's got another drink, we're going to settle down, and I'm just going to say a quick prayer for Helen, and then she's going to share with us. Okay, Helen, let's pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Helen. We lift her up to you and trust that you will use her to bring what you want to say to each and every one of us here today. Though those words may be different for each individual, we know that you will use her because you raised her up and gave her the gifts that she uses to share your word. So Lord, we just thank you for her and bless her and ask for your protection as she brings what you've got for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Now, normally you see these words at the end of a presentation. The next slide doesn't say, have you got any questions? Sorry, there's a lot more to go through first. I wanted to talk to you today about Thanksgiving, giving thanks. Culturally, we say thank you a lot. It's quite a polite thing. One of the first words you probably taught your children to say was ta. Should we try it again? Ta. I'll stop playing now. Think of conversations that you have every day. So when you go to the supermarket, how many times do you say thank you to the person sitting at the checkout? They offer you to pack your bag for you. They say, oh, do you want some help packing? You say, oh, no, thank you. Or secretly you're thinking, yes, yes, I do, but I'm just too proud to admit it. I can never open the bags. It's a horrible, horrible thing. But you say, no, no, thank you. And then you hand over your money, say, oh, thank you. They give you a change, thank you. They give you a receipt, thank you. You walk away, thank you. It's something we do out of politeness, isn't it? What about when a telemarketer phones you up and tries to sell you insurance over the phone, and you end up thanking them for calling, even though what you're actually thinking is, I was in the middle of a blazing row with my children, now I've gone and lost my train of thought because I had to go and answer the phone just so you could tell me about insurance that I don't need or want, but thank you for calling. It's always the way, isn't it? We're very polite, especially in Britain. But then the Americans, they have an entire day dedicated to Thanksgiving. It was this Thursday. Thanksgiving's expected. If you don't say thank you in many situations, you come across as rude. When someone comes round for dinner, you say, oh, thank you for coming. They say, oh, thank you for having me. So what you're essentially saying is that it was difficult inviting you round, and actually it's kind of difficult and an inconvenience coming round. What's an appropriate thank you gift? If someone invites you around for dinner, what do you bring? Do you bring a bottle of wine? Is that a nice way of saying thank you for the meal? Or is it actually saying, I don't trust you to be able to choose the wine, so I'm going to bring my own?
It depends if we're going to Barry's or not.
Always, always go with Barry's wine. It's got a good selection. Don't bother bringing around wine. Really? If someone invites you and takes you, pays for a cruise, a two-week cruise around the Mediterranean, a bottle of wine's not going to cut it as a thank you, is it? It's got to be an appropriate level of thank you. What about a thank you note? Did your parents used to do what mine did and sit you down the day or two after Christmas with loads and loads of those silly little thank you notes that you got in your stocking? So what, do I give you a thank you note for the thank you notes? I don't understand. And you used to sit and write, and mine were always the same. It was always, dear obscure relative I haven't seen for 2 years, thank you so much for X gift. I will spend it wisely if it was money, or I will play with it every day. Essentially, it was out of politeness. I didn't really think that much of the gift. I can barely remember who the relative was that gave it to me in the first place, but it was something you did because it's polite. So if human thanksgiving is just a cultural and polite thing to do, why do we need to thank God for things? Isn't he a little bit beyond the whole social nicety? So why do we give thanks? Well, to start with, the Bible tells us to give thanks. Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. That's in Psalm 107. The Old Testament is full of rules around thanksgiving offerings. There are what you should bring and how you should bring it. But actually, the thanksgiving offering itself was an optional one. You did it as a response to something that God had done for you, or your feeling for God, your love for God. It's often mentioned in conjunction with sacrifice or worship, because actually it is worship, saying thank you. If it's an optional rule, if it's an optional thing in the Old Testament, then it was an act of worship. It was your heart's response to what God had done for you. And it's a sacrifice, because saying thank you isn't our natural default response to things. Humans are quite selfish, essentially, aren't they? But when we take the time to thank someone for a gift, or we write that thank you note, it's taking time, it's taking effort. It's a little bit of a sacrifice for us. Just like the sacrifices were in the Old Testament for saying thank you. Now, if God mentions it so many times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, it must be important. So why? Why is it important to say thank you to God? Or for a start, it focuses us on God's vastness and our smallness. So Matthew 6 says, "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" There are so many things that we just can't do by ourselves. We can be as healthy as we like. We can exercise every day. We can eat well. We can not smoke. We can not drink. But no matter how much we worry about it, we can't add a single day to our lives. That is ordained by God. He decides how long we live. There's so much tragedy in the world, things that just horrible things that happen every day. But when we say thank you, when we recognize that God has given us another day of life, that he's blessed us with so many things, it reminds us that we've got a loving God on our side, that we've got a God who cares for us. Thanking God reminds us of all of the things that only he can do, that we can't control. Thanking God reminds us of what he's done for us and what he can do for us. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Saying thank you at the time that something happens that is good, that you're glad for, is a great way of marking it in your memory, in your sort of your life's timeline, as something that God has done for you. So when you look back over time, you can think, actually, I was thankful for that because, oh yeah, that's what God did for me. Wasn't that amazing? We can even say thank you for bad stuff. It says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." God is all-powerful. He created the world. He created the universe. He's ruler over all of it. That means that everything is under God's authority and his control. So when bad stuff happens, God has allowed it to happen. And that is a really hard thing for us to get our heads around, because yes, there is evil in the world. There's Satan. We have an enemy. But God allows things to happen because he can stop stuff. He is creator of the universe. So when this bad stuff happens, we have to remember that God is all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's all-loving. He's got a good and perfect plan for all of us. And though that bad stuff might not make sense to us at the time, it's something that he knows fully well is going to happen, and he's factored into our life stories, our timelines. So on a small level, you can think of it as, I always pray when I'm trying to find a car parking space, I always pray, "God, please can you provide me a decent car parking space?" And by that I mean as close to the front of the shop door as humanly possible. Most of the time I get a great car parking space. Yay, thank you, God. But sometimes I don't. Sometimes there are no car parking spaces at all and I have to wait. And now is that God thinking, "Oh, I don't have time to arrange a car parking space for you right now, Helen. You're going to have to sort it out for yourself." It's not. It's God has answered my prayer, but just not in the way that I'd hoped for. But I don't know why he may not have provided that car parking space. To me, it's a bad thing. I want a nice, convenient car parking space, one that I don't have to parallel park into, that I can just park straight in, right in front of the shop door. But he's chosen not to do that, and that could be for any number of reasons. It could be that that extra time it's taken for me to find a car parking space means that I'm getting to the shop just at the right time to meet a friend of mine or to hold the door open for someone and show a bit of kindness to them. Who knows why? It could just be God saying, walk, stop being so lazy. If you think back to some of the hardest times in your life, in hindsight, you can probably see some good that's come from it. I remember when I left my last church, the year preceding that was a really hard one for me. I felt really uncomfortable in the church. I felt lonely and I felt really sad. And I chose to leave because I didn't feel that it was home for me anymore. And that was a really difficult thing. But if I hadn't have left that last church, I wouldn't be here now. I wouldn't have been experiencing all the opportunities that I've got now. I wouldn't have met all of you lovely people. At the time, it was a hard and horrible thing I was going through. But with hindsight, I can see all of the good that God has brought through that time. And that's something to be thankful for. Even when it's a difficult situation, we can still say thanks because we have the hope and the trust that God is going to bring something good out of it. When we say thank you, it reminds us that God is good. Psalm 136 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. When we're going through tough times, it is so easy to forget God's goodness and that he loves us. It can feel like we've been abandoned by him, that he's distant. But remembering all of the things that he's done throughout our lives gives us that hope that he's going to bring us through the situation. I had to write my life story recently for something, and it was amazing actually seeing it down on paper, all of the things that God has brought me through, not saved me from or not enabled me to go through or allowed me to go through, but the stuff that he's actually brought me through, how he's walked with me faithfully as I've gone through some really tricky things. Remembering that gives me hope for the future, that when I do encounter something difficult again, I know and I can trust that God will be there because he is good and he loves me. Giving thanks brings us peace. Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, the thanksgiving offerings I was talking about are also known as peace offerings. They're a type of peace offering. Giving thanks and having peace go hand in hand. By acknowledging what he's done in the past, that he's come through for us, that he's met our needs before, and asking for his provision again, but thanking him for all of the stuff that he's done before for us, it builds that trust in us that he will continue to fulfill our needs. He'll continue to come through for us. And we have peace from that. Peace that the rest of the world doesn't necessarily understand, because you can, as Christians, as followers of Christ, you can be going through all kinds of storms and still be peaceful because you have that confident hope in God. Giving thanks brings joy. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he's done. Sing to him. Yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exult in his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. It's actually quite hard to stay feeling down and depressed when you've got a thankful heart. Even in the midst of complete misery, when you remember things that you're thankful for, it lifts your spirits. You can't stay down if you're thanking God for all of the stuff that he's done for you. It brings joy. Along with that peace that you have joy, which in itself is something to be thankful for. Giving thanks to God is a good witness to people who don't know him. Psalm 9 says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell all of the marvelous things you have done. I don't know how to prove to people that God exists, that Jesus exists. I don't have the words to say this. I can't give evidence to people scientifically that Jesus exists, but I can tell them what he's done in my life. Sing praises to the Lord who reigns in Jerusalem. Tell the world about his unforgettable deeds. That's in Psalm 9:11. In Acts, we read about Paul and Silas who were praying and praising whilst they were in prison and other prisoners heard them. Imagine what that must have been like. They're in utter horrible, horrible situation. This disgusting, dank cells, these not getting fed for days. It was horrendous. And yet there they are, praising God and thanking him. Even amidst those circumstances, that must have been so powerful for the people who heard them. The prisoners and the guards. When people who don't know Jesus see you thanking and praising God throughout your pain and your misery, that speaks volumes. But what happens when we don't give thanks? It's actually quite dangerous to not take the time to thank God for the stuff that he's done. It leads to hopelessness. It's hard to see how anything can change if you don't look back and see what has changed in the past. That if you don't remember the things that God has done for you before, it's so easy to fall into that trap of nothing's ever going to change. I'm always going to be like this. I'm always going to feel this way. It leads to bitterness. Get that feeling of God doesn't ever do anything for me because you forget the stuff that he's done for you before. It can lead to jealousy. If we don't see the good things that God has given us, it causes us to want what other people have. Do you ever get those lovely round robin letters at Christmas? So you open a Christmas card and some friend that you haven't seen for quite a while has written you a long note about how well their family is doing. It's always the good news, isn't it? Like the my husband's just got promoted and our children are excelling at everything and they've just got first class honours in their degrees and the cats learn how to type, the poodles learn as one crufts, all this kind of thing. It's never bad news. Or what about Facebook or Fakebook, as I now started calling it, where everyone tells you about all of the amazing stuff that's going on in their lives and never the bad stuff. If you see that, you're bombarded with that time and time again, aren't you, throughout the day. It's so easy to be jealous of other people if you don't take the time to recognise the stuff that is in your life. My car broke down recently, and I was really fortunate that my parents gave me their car so that I can still drive around. Now, the place where I work is a marketing agency for the automotive industry, so our car park is full of some really nice cars. Bosses have got Maseratis, Lamborghinis, they've got Porsches, Ferraris, and then there's my Chevrolet Matiz. If you don't know what a Chevrolet Matiz is, it's about this big. That's all I've got to say about it. But it would be so easy for me to look at this nice Ferrari that I'm parked nearby. We're not allowed to park right next to them. They don't trust us parking right next to their nice cars. But it'd be so easy for me to see these lovely cars and think, oh. Basically a motorbike with four doors. But actually, I can look and I can think, thank you, God, that I got a car that means I can drive to and from work, that I can get to church and back. Thank you, God, I have a car. Yes, it's not a Ferrari, but I have it. Thank you, Lord. And the jealousy that I would have is gone because I've taken the time to thank God for what he has provided me with. I'd only scratch it if I had a Ferrari. I'd hate driving it. Ooh. If we don't take the time to thank God for what he's given us and provided us with, we'll never be satisfied. There's always that feeling of single people, I want to get married, and married people, I want to have kids, and I want a better husband. I want the kids to leave home. I want the kids to come back. I want grandchildren. I want someone to pick up the grandchildren. I've had enough. You're always wanting something more, never satisfied with what you've got because you're never taking the time to actually take stock and thank God for what he's given you. Not thanking God leads to independence from him. If you don't recognise what he's done, it's so easy for you to forget that you do need him. And that leads to feelings of being able to do stuff for yourself and being self-sufficient and God doesn't provide for me, I'll have to do it myself. And that is a dangerous, dangerous position to be in. And we have to remember that God wants to give us good gifts. It says in Matthew 7, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, we tend to think of thanksgiving in terms of what we have that others don't. So, running water, homes to live in. But other than our basic needs, God sometimes just wants to bless us. He wants to give us good things. Now, this was brought home to me a couple of weeks ago when I went to see my nephews. My eldest nephew, Caleb, is 6. And he said to me, "Auntie Helen, do you want to see my list to Santa Claus?" And if any of you have got small people that you have to buy for who aren't your own, you know that the Christmas list is gold dust. Because I never know what to get my nephews that they haven't already got, that they want, that hasn't been banned, that isn't just a pile of plastic tat. I never know what to get them. So I was, as soon as he said, "Do you want to see the list?" I was like, "Yes, please don't be a pony. I can't afford a pony. Please don't be a pony." Thankfully, what he wants more than anything else is a Gup F. That's why I thought, oh, what now? If you're not familiar with the TV show Octonauts, a Gup is like some kind of boat, I think, submarine type thing. They've got Gups A to E. The genius marketers at Octonauts thought, hey, this Christmas, we'll bring out another one, Gup F. Think of it like Thunderbirds. You've got the Thunderbirds 1, the Thunderbirds 2, and if your parents really loved you, they buy them for you. Sorry if you didn't get one of those for Christmas. So anyway, I thought, yes, okay, I will buy my nephew a Gup F. Essentially, you're paying a lot of money for bits of plastic, and they actually came in the post yesterday, and I realised that you have to assemble the plastic. It doesn't even come fully assembled for you. But imagine how I would think on Christmas Day if, knowing full well that my nephew Caleb really, really wants one of these, he unwrapped the present and said, "Oh, Auntie Helen, I shall have to sell this and give the money to the poor." What? Why, Caleb? "Well, I've got so many toys already. I don't need any more toys." I'd think, well, to be fair, yes, you have got a lot of toys already, but I want to give this to you. I know that you're really good at sharing with your brothers. I want to give you a good gift. I want you to enjoy it. I'd feel sad if he didn't enjoy it or he felt guilty about it. And so often we do feel guilty about things that we have. And I know whenever I tend to hear people talking about giving thanks, I think, oh, I've got so much. Yes, I've got the running water. Yes, I've got the heated home. Yes, I've got all of these things, and now I just feel awful about it. But God wants us to be thankful, not feel guilty. Now, I saw a man yesterday walking around with a T-shirt on that said, "I love gravy." Do you know what I reckon he might be thankful for in life? Gravy. Do you know what I'm thankful for in life? Cheesecake. It's okay to be thankful about the stuff that God just blesses us with. My life would be no worse off probably if I'd never eaten cheesecake. I don't think there are people in the developing countries who are thinking, you know what I really need? It's cheesecake. I don't think that's happening, but I can still be thankful for that. I can be thankful for that little gift from God. It says in the Bible that all good things come from God. So I like to think cheesecake comes from God. I can thank him for that. Now, often we don't feel thankful. And that's usually because we've been asking for something for such a long time and we've not got it. Have you ever really, really wanted something for Christmas? Like the Barbie dream house with jacuzzi and swimming pool and optional extra sun lounges. And you've done that thing of having the Argos catalogue and you've kind of ringed it in the Argos catalogue and you've just left post-it notes around the house with the Argos reference on it. And you've just kind of gone around, "Dear mother, I love you so much. Do you know what else I love? The Barbie dream house with swimming pool and jacuzzi and optional extra sun lounges." Have you ever done that as a kid? And then you got to Christmas Day and you've unwrapped all of the rubbish presents you weren't that interested in, and there's one box left, and you're like, this is it. This is the Barbie dream house. And you open it up, and it's a Sylvanian family's dream house instead. It is so hard to be thankful when actually you wanted one thing and you got something else. But we have to remember what God says, that my thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. It's hard to be thankful for what we see as unanswered prayer. You see your loved ones getting iller, or it's another year without a wife or a husband, or your children are still angry at you, or your marriage is on the rocks. It is so hard to remember to be thankful for things when actually the one thing you want above everything else, you've not got. But that's when you have to trust God and you say, Lord, I know that you have plans for me. It says so in Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We have to trust that he's withholding those things that we really want for a very good reason. And often that makes no sense to us because we think, well, why wouldn't God want someone to get better? Why wouldn't he want my marriage to work? But sometimes we just have to be thankful that God is all-knowing, that he knows better than we do. We have to be thankful that perhaps he's saying no or not now. And the truth is that we all have something to be thankful for. Ephesians 1 says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Now, I could list all of the things that we take for granted every day, the running water, the warmth, the freedom from persecution. But does that mean that everyone who doesn't have these things has nothing to be thankful for? I don't think so. I think that we all have something we can be thankful for, no matter what we're going through or what circumstances we're in. We can be thankful for Jesus. We can be thankful that we are saved from death, eternal life without God. We are saved from that. If we know him, accept him as our Lord and Saviour. We can be thankful for grace, that we get to experience joy and love and peace and freedom from sin. We have hope in the future. Romans 15 talks about God being the source of hope. Jesus died for us to have abundant life. That's John 10:10. Or Philippians 4 that says God will supply all of our needs. Or Ephesians 3 that says God is able to accomplish immeasurably more than we can ever ask for or think of. We have that to be thankful for no matter what we're going through. We have the hope of heaven. Titus 1 says, I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the world began. We have something to be thankful for. Every one of us does. If you put aside all of the things that we get to experience and delight in every day, from the running water to the gravy, we've got Jesus. And he essentially is all we need. And we have him to be thankful for. You can also now be thankful that the sermon is over. You will get to go and have some lunch. But just before we go, I just want to pray. Father, thank you that we do have you. We thank you that you sent Jesus to die for all of the stuff that we do every day that's not your desire for us, Lord. All of the sin in our lives, we thank you that you died, that we can be free from that, Jesus. We thank you that we have a hope for our future, a hope for our present, and a hope for heaven, Lord. We thank you that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, that you walk with us through every trial that we go through. We thank you that you have a good and perfect plan for every single one of us. We thank you that you do bless us, that you do choose to give us good gifts over and above what we deserve, because essentially we deserve nothing, and yet you choose to give us all that we have. We thank you that we do get to experience comfortable lives, and we thank you that we get to know your peace and your joy. And Father, I ask that over the next few weeks in the run-up to Christmas, we will remember to be thankful for that ultimate gift of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love. Amen.